Hello and welcome. This is Couples Counseling for Parents, a show about couple relationships, how they work, why they don't, what you can do to fix what's broken.
Here are our parents.
Our dad, Dr. Stephen Mitchell, and our mom, Erin Mitchell.
Hello and thanks for joining us today on Couples Counseling for Parents. I'm Dr. Stephen Mitchell.
I'm Erin Mitchell.
And we're excited to be here with you.
I think this is a really important podcast. So, I don't know that I would have said excited. I think it feels really important.
Well, maybe that's what I feel too. So let me tell you. Let me tell you what I've been thinking about, everybody, because I've been thinking about this podcast and what we're going to talk about today. And some of it is, all of it is because of some interactions we've been having with our community. And I think a week or two ago, Erin had posted something about kind of living life without involved grandparents, maybe due to they don't live close, or maybe it's not the healthiest relationship, or, a myriad of other reasons. And then also, Erin is going to be starting this group called Mothering Without a Mother. And just talking about what it is like. I mean, the name is pretty self-explanatory. I was about to explain the name, but it sounds pretty clear, right?
Yes, but I think I am starting a group for mothers without mothers. And that is for any reason. I think you mentioned some of those, like living far away. You don't have your mother in the day-to-day interactions. Mm-hmm. Estrangement, bad relationship. Passed away. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of reasons that people end up in this situation, and it's not great. It's hard. It's taxing. It's taxing on on myself, but also it's a lot to navigate for the whole family. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things we're going to talk about is like the impact that it has on our kids, and that impact that impact has on us, and then also the strain and the tax that it can have on a couple where like we are our only resource.
Right.
We are like, and that's not bad. It's just, it is a reality.
Yeah. Yeah. And kind of in light. So thinking about that also, if you do want to know about that group, just subscribe to our newsletter. We are going to be sending out information each week, about the group to remind people that it's happening, before it launches.
Looking, you can like also just email, and we can add you that way. But
anyway. Sure. Anyway, so all these things have had me thinking about, and then also I guess if I'm honest, like some of the things that we have been kind of dealing with as a couple, just being parents and running a business, and we don't have any family here where we live. Our parents. Both of your parents are no longer living. My dad's not living. Not super close with my mom. So just some of these realities. And I think it just made me think about how lonely couples feel sometimes in this stage of their life as parents and as partners. There's just this overwhelming sense of like, it's just me. It's just us. And I think that loneliness can really weigh heavily on a couple. I feel like it's weighed heavily on us at times, like without like awareness. And then what begins to happen is you're fighting, there's conflict, there's resentment, there's sort of just a flavor of like disappointment and lack of contentment in your relationship and in your life. And I think some of it does stem to this feeling of just like, I feel really alone and I don't feel like I have help. And I think when a partner feels like that, then they look to their partner, so Stephen feels that way. He looks to Erin and says, help me not feel alone. But Erin feels alone already, and she's looking to Stephen saying, help me not feel alone. And it just leads to oftentimes, more an intensification of that feeling of loneliness.
I
want to take a nap now. I feel like really sad. talking about that.
I think that there is great sadness, and I think that's part of it, because I think that that's a little bit of the complicated nature of this topic, because our lives are rich and good.
Sure, yeah.
And I think a lot of the couples we talk to would say the same. Like, we have so much to be thankful for. And, you know, like, I did a post a long time ago made about, like, our house is filling up with people. But I've never felt so alone. It's one of those paradoxes where to say that you're in a lonely season of life doesn't mean it's only lonely, or that like I don't enjoy our interactions, or
I'm not happy with my relationship.
Or, because that's the segue here, is that like, so yes, you mentioned the grandparents and like our connection to our families, but there are a lot of sort of thematic reasons couples in this season of their life feel this way, I think, including but not limited to, people have moved.
We
live in a city that is very transient. So, you know, your neighbors are here one day, or maybe, you know, like, you know, one day, maybe a couple of years or something. And then there's a new job in a new city and they're gone. And, we've been that neighbor quite a few times. We've moved a lot for, you know, your school and fellowships and jobs and research it's moved us a lot, and it's hard to feel rooted. Even if it's not to family, it's hard to feel rooted even to your own community and friends when people are moving a lot.
And you know, something I've been thinking about just even personally too, I think that this stage of life for adults, it's just hard to have friends. You work, you have kids, you're busy, and it's like, so when, like if I look at my life and I'm like, you know, it's not
all that free time.
There's not a lot of free time. It's not like I'm sitting there like planning a bunch of like get together with, you know, friends outside of like doing things as a couple, or doing things with the kids' sports teams, or, you know, those kinds of things. But I'm just saying, like, I think people like also feel like, I don't know how to make friends right now. I don't know when I would. I don't know when I would spend time doing that kind of stuff. And that is an important part of life and relationship too. And,
sure. I think a lot of times friendships have seasons. And I think that that's a really complicated thing to recognize also. So I've had best friends. I have a group of friends I've had since preschool. I have a group of friends I've had since my freshman year of high school. I have like different groups of friends, but we had kids first. We had kids last out of your group of friends, and kids first out of my group of friends. And that absolutely immediately and instantly puts you in different sort of friend groups, like where you're just doing different things at different times. And that's not bad, but it's hard. So then your new friend group becomes the friends who have kids your age.
Right.
But they might be a new friend group. So like maybe you don't say all the things that are going on. Like, yeah, we talk about our kids and we talk about, you know, what we're doing as parents. But like, do I really share how much disconnection me and you feel? No. Like, oh no, we aren't that.
How deep do we go here?
Yes, exactly.
I'm also just thinking, like, you mentioned some periods of your life where you had friends, and I was just like, I didn't really make friends till college. that kind of makes me feel like maybe I wasn't so good at making friends, because I wouldn't say like moment of self-reflection. It was like, that feels sad even, I guess, in terms of like how I am and my personality and how I can or can't make friends.
I think that's another really important thing to consider as a couple. So I lived in the same house from 7 until my mom passed away, and that house was gone.
Right.
And before I was 7, I lived in the house on the same street. We literally moved. Yeah. I forget how many houses down. I knew at one point it was 10 or so up the street, and it was devastating.
My
community was very much my community. So having that change in my adult life, like, that has not been the case for us.
Right.
I've moved so much.
Right.
But that was your life.
Yeah, I moved a good bit. And
which isn't, there's not like a good or a bad. There's but it is a different experience. So we come to these things. We even approach. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this 1,000 times. It is very important to me that our kids feel rooted, mm-hmm. and it is really difficult for me to imagine how to do that without aunts, uncles, cousins,
right?
The first grade teacher who lives, I know where exactly they live, and
your first grade teacher that you grew up with, you mean?
I know exactly where she lives. But like, yes, I'm saying.
You want our kids to be that connected, or like, oh, that's Mrs. you know, Johnson's house, and you Ms. know, Lowry. That kind of
Mrs. Lowry.
Well, yeah. Miss Lowry, yes. But like that kind of sense of rootedness and connectedness it can contribute to your feeling of loneliness even as a parent at this stage of life, because you're like, I don't feel like we have that. Or
and I think that we end up wanting to, yes, I think it can contribute, mm-hmm. but I also think it can feel like, oh, but the only rubric I have is what I knew.
Yeah.
So like, oh.
And so what do I do?
What do we do? Yeah. How do we do this? How do we navigate this?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are happy. Mm-hmm. I was so happy moving around when it was just the two of us.
Yeah.
We loved it. We lived in Seattle. We lived in Bozeman, Montana. We lived, like we moved and felt like, honestly, like it was this epic adventure. Mm-hmm. We have so many pictures of like the first night we would sleep in a little tiny apartment, like having dinner. Like we just saw one recently where Steven made like this makeshift dinner out of like some folding chairs and like some sort
table,
of plank.
Yeah.
It wasn't a real table, but he like made a table out of
it's
it.
It's one of our many moves that happened.
Yeah, and like
a
this
lot
is
places.
Like our first dinner there. And we have a lot of those. And that felt sweet and good to me until we had a kid. And I was like, so this person you thought I was,
right?
That
right.
was fine, but I am a different person now.
Well, and so I think that a lot of couples deal with this feeling of loneliness, and I think that two couples can feel they can feel bad. They can feel like you know, is something wrong? Did we do something wrong? Like we shouldn't
feel
lonely.
Well, can also feel personal, right?
Say more.
Like if I'm lonely. Mm-hmm. Or frankly, like if you are saying you're really lonely, mm-hmm. like, well, I'm right here.
Oh yeah. Like I should be. Like why are you lonely if I'm here? We've got our family, you know,
yes.
this, and so honestly, that's really interesting because I think that that's a dynamic or even a conversation that happens. So like one that we've had where, you know, Aaron, you're like, we need this rootedness. We need, you know, I need
home.
To.
I wanted to go home. I wanted to live by my mom. There was no other possible scenario.
And I was always like, but we've got each other and, you know, home can be here, like what we create and all that kind of stuff.
Which was
and,
the story you grew up
right,
with.
Right. Mm-hmm. And,
to some extent.
Yeah. I wouldn't. Yeah. It wasn't always. Yeah.
Right.
Home was interesting for me. But at least my siblings, you know, were who I was close with and what felt like home. And so I think even in that, there's just this disconnect or this feeling of like, that we walk away feeling lonely, where you're like, why can't you see how important this is and see this aspect of my life and who I am? And then I think like, why can't we just be enough and, you know, bloom where we're planted, you know, do that kind of thing. And so I think you get into these conversations, but I think it's
I think all of us, at certain times feel misunderstood in our loneliness. And I think to be perfectly honest, it's because we don't actually understand our loneliness because who among us is sitting around reflecting on, you know, like, you know, the thing we say all the time is you have to actually know what you're trying to communicate before you start talking.
Yeah.
But mostly we don't.
Yeah.
We start talking first and try to figure it out as we go. That's not a great communication skill, but it is often, especially for parents, you know, like I don't like, I'm going to get to that when I get to that. And that is not today. But it doesn't change our feelings. We just don't necessarily understand what they're about.
Right. And I think that that's really important that I think, first of all, like that couples can acknowledge that we do feel lonely. And that doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. I do think that that is an aspect of this developmental stage in a couple's life that they can feel lonely.
Yes.
It doesn't mean every couple out there does, but there is a subset of couples that do, and that's normal and that's okay. But you do then have to recognize like, okay, what is that? How does that loneliness impact our relationship And then what can we do about it? Because it is impacting your relationship. And I think that, to your point, is you individually have to understand, like, well, what does loneliness mean? Like,
so I think for me, it personally, and I don't know if I'm answering your question, mm-hmm. but I think I mislabeled my loneliness for the first 4 years of our kids' lives, mm-hmm. Of our oldest kids, I guess, of us becoming parents, rather, as me disliking your job. Like, the problem is your work.
Yeah.
Like, you are too invested at your job, and if you weren't working so much, and if you weren't so committed to advancing, to be fair, for our family.
Sure.
All the while, and I think this is almost universal, that when you become parents, you want more time as a family, and you suddenly need exponentially more money.
Right.
Which typically for most people means you have to figure out new work, more work, different work.
Yeah.
So these things, and they are competing. Mm-hmm. They don't usually work well together. And mm-hmm. so I think I was very lonely because we moved very shortly after we had our kids for a fellowship, this career advancement. It was going to be better.
Yeah.
And it was hard. And I said, oh, I'm lonely because of that thing that you are doing and that mm-hmm. is taking you away from me.
Right.
There's truth in that, but that wasn't the whole truth of it. It was a really good, an easy excuse. But that's what I mean. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. But I was even thinking, yes, that does. But I also think, just on a deeper level, I think for me, one of the things that I have to, one of the things I've realized in our relationship is, I generally think I'm a pretty good dad and a pretty good partner. But I also recognize that one of the challenges of being in relationship with me as a dad and as a husband is that I can tend or trend towards being stressed and overwhelmed, which makes me disengaged and moody, and that I can get and that can be like an energy suck, like a black hole of just sucking the energy out of our family system. And I think how I have experienced that is, I'm like, it's situational, right? It's like, oh, it's like I need a different job, or oh, we just need some more money, or oh, it's where we live, or oh, we just need, you know, I need Aaron to, you know, just act this way, or I need the kids to do this, or I just need the house to be cleaner, you know, or whatever it is. Like, and I've kind of like gone through like with that attitude and spirit. But I think as time has gone on, what I realize is I'm just really lonely. And I'm lonely not because I'm dissatisfied in my relationship with you or in my relationship with the kids or even in my job or even what I'm doing. I'm lonely because I've had that feeling ever since I was little. I am, and I've never really known what to do with it. And the reason I've had that feeling of loneliness is because of just my experience growing up. You know, I didn't have I didn't have a good relationships with my parents. My parents were angry a lot, and they fought a lot, and they were scary. And I, you know, my dad was kind of this big, scary dude who had a temper, and, you know, my mom had a temper and was scary. And, it felt like I couldn't go be close with them because it was frightening to be close with them. And so as a little kid, I remember oftentimes just a feeling of like feeling like absolutely alone and unsure of what to do. Thankfully, I had two siblings and we had good relationships, but I think they felt pretty lonely too. You know, we did the best we could as kids to kind of make that environment feel better. But I think what it did is, like, inside of me, like in my, like in my spirit, it caused me to feel like there's no one here for me ever. And I'm not trying to be dramatic. Like, I have felt that way like as long as I can remember. And I think that I go through life And as I go through life, I have that feeling of, is there anyone here for me? When you run into these big, scary things of trying to live life, of trying to be an adult, of having kids, of having a relationship, of running a business, of trying to survive, like all of these things where if you had like kind of something inside of yourself that helped you feel like you weren't alone, or that you belonged somewhere, or that you were connected somewhere, like things would feel different. And I think that, at least for me, like what I've realized about the loneliness is it is located in that.
Oh, sure.
And that directly impacts how I bring myself to our relationship and how I bring myself to being a dad. And I think that oftentimes, like, I find that in the couples that we talk with, I find that to be true for a lot of people, and yet they're not really aware that they're dealing with that kind of absence. And that absence from before intimately connects their present. So I think that that's another level of loneliness. Like you're kind of, that's how you experience loneliness. So mm-hmm. It's your job. I think I've experienced it more in that internal, like, whoa, like I'm dealing with a really powerful feeling that I've had my whole life, but I'm calling it something else. And I'm kind of trying to fix it, like by, you know, fixing you or fixing the kids or doing a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, yes. I mean, I think that's a really powerful story. I can feel that. I think that's very relatable. I imagine a lot of people listening have a version of that. I don't think mm-hmm. it's the same. Sure. I think a lot of people had very physically present parents, but I think a lot of us experienced a nurture gap. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think just sort of like because of the way parenting styles were at that time. Not everybody, but I think, yes. Mm-hmm. So like, mm-hmm. I think some people will be like, oh, but my parents were there. But then when you really think about it, like, well, I think they wanted to be.
Yeah.
Like they meant to be. They thought they were. But just because we had parents who had positive intentions, it doesn't mean they were everything we needed.
Yeah, and a parent can't be everything you need.
Sure.
But I do think what that idea of the nurture guy is really, I think that's a good way of saying it.
Stephen loves something I say every single podcast. Yeah. That's gonna be the new takeaway.
Well, I think that's great.
I saw your face when I said it, like, oh, that's gonna be
amazing. Yeah. So that I think that is really true, and that's a societal thing, a generational thing, as you're saying, an understanding of parenting, like, you know, what we understand about neuroscience and attachment and like what brings healthy relationships is a lot different now than what we knew then. Although, you know, some of it is common sense as well.
Well, some people knew it then. My mom was very...
Yeah, a lot of... Yeah,
but we digress. My point is, like, I think it is relatable, mm-hmm. even if it's not like, oh, yeah, my parents were scary.
Yeah.
But I didn't always feel like I could come to them if I had a big problem.
I can't remember being told I was loved by my parents, or I can't, you know, we didn't really hug much, or there wasn't much affection, or there wasn't much encouragement. Like, that doesn't mean your home was terrible.
Right.
But it is an absence.
Right,
something that can leave you feeling that message of, there's no one here to help me. I have to help myself. It's all up to me. I'm the only one I can rely on. I'm the only one I can trust. I think that when there's messages and stories like that run through our hearts and our minds, that is an indication of that gap.
And then you think about us. I'm just going to continue to use us an example. So you have a me who wanted desperately for like some sort of a repeat family
experience.
Well, maybe community experience. Yeah. I definitely wanted a different family makeup. Mm-hmm. But like I expected that my kids would be friends with their friends like I am.
Since preschool
through for, you know, 40.
And I expected my kids wouldn't have friends till college like me.
I don't think you ever thought about it, to be honest. But then, okay, so someone like me marry someone like Stephen, where like what you really wanted was to achieve, and to like, that is what made you feel safe and secure, I think. And the next achievement, next achievement.
Not very relational, if you notice. Just very.
I think it's very relational.
Well,
the intention is like, sure. Then I'll be safe.
Sure, sure,
then
sure.
Then I won't
sure.
be alone. Mm-hmm. So I think that, and it doesn't, maybe the way I said it wasn't right. kind, but like, I think that.
Well, I didn't think it was unkind. I just think it's that achieving was much more like, the accomplishing of things is what helped me feel better. And so that's a very task-oriented, task-focused way of doing things, not really a relational way of connecting.
So I think I'm saying the same thing, but I think that that's mm-hmm. a task external expression of an internal relational need. So I think
Say more.
I think I did, but I feel like
I don't get it.
To yeah. externally be trying to achieve, so mm-hmm. internally you feel like you can be safe and secure gotcha. Is very relational.
Gotcha.
It doesn't look relational on mm-hmm. paper if you write, mm-hmm. I'm task focused. Like, yeah, that doesn't look good. But like,
you can tell I've done a lot of healing around this, right?
That's kind of why I'm looking at you like, what are we talking about? We've talked about this a million times.
I get it now.
But like, the how did someone come to be a task-oriented person? Because it's going to do something internally to soothe or help feel safe or protect or whatever. But I'm just saying, like, so I'm like, home forever. Mm-hmm. We're going to live on the same street and we're going to buy our first house when we... whatever, mm-hmm. I don't know. And then we live there forever.
Right.
And you're like, right. I'm going to achieve, and that requires to go to PhD school here. That requires an internship there. That requires a fellowship here. I need to do research here. And honestly, it was fine until we had kids. And then I said, like, that started to create panic in me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I think, I think a lot of couples get to this. Like, wait a minute, though. We had agreed. Like, mm-hmm. you knew what was happening. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, yeah, I was happy to move then. Mm-hmm. But...
yeah. So in a way, I think what were... a good question to ask yourself if you are in a parenting partner relationship. And you... like...
I think just in a relationship.
Yeah. Are you aware of a feeling of loneliness? If you are, a second question to ask is, how have you gone about trying to fix it? You don't like those questions.
I love those questions. But I think like 1A.
1A. Go ahead. 1A.
How would someone know if they felt lonely? Mm. Because I think many of us did not learn to identify our emotions. Uh-huh. So like, what would loneliness maybe look like?
Yeah. So I think it could look a lot of ways. I think like, you know, a restlessness, a discontentment, a kind of angst, a sort of this feeling of like, nothing's enough. I got to get more. A feeling of emptiness, a feeling of kind of anxiety mm-hmm. or constant striving, a feeling of... being so externally focused and so helpful to everyone else and so concerned with how everyone else is doing that you run yourself into the ground and you have no awareness of yourself, like all kinds of things.
I think to that point, I think a lot of lonely people are out there making sure no one else feels lonely.
Yeah.
So I think...
Or like for me, to be quite honest, like the way, like just really withdrawn, really like internal, not looking to connect. I think both of these things.
I think some of us are like, oh, we all like Eeyore. Eeyore seemed lonely.
But
Eeyore, whatever. That's a tale for a different day. But like, I don't think lonely looks... I don't think we all know what it looks like. And so I think mm-hmm. it's like we're expecting it to look one thing. Well, I don't look like that, so I'm not lonely. Mm-hmm.
I got plenty of friends. I do a lot of stuff. I'm very social. I'm very extroverted. But none of that has anything to do with...
Well, it can.
Like, I mean, in yourself, do you feel known? Do you feel cared for?
Yes.
Do you feel solid within yourself? Do you feel a sense of like... well-being and within yourself, or do you feel like a sense of emptiness and a need to strive for something that's not there? That's what all
of those
things.
I don't think it has things. To be either or. I like the first part of that better. I think this, because the second part doesn't resonate for me, but the first part certainly does. So I think...
Of the first part being...
Like the, do you feel all the things you just listed? Mm-hmm. The first, but like the striving.
The striving isn't, yeah.
I don't, that... I mean, which doesn't mean it isn't true for me, but that does, I'm not like, oh yeah. So I don't. I just don't think it has to be an either or.
It's not an either or. This is also like a maybe.
Do you feel known? Do you feel like those things? Mm-hmm. I'm like, ah, oh, those are great guiding questions. Mm-hmm.
So that first question of like, do I feel lonely? The 1A of it is like what we just did. Like, how would I maybe know if I do or don't? We just threw out some ideas, and then I think there's the second question of like, and how have I gone about trying to fix it? How have I gone about asking my partner to fix it?
And fix doesn't have to be a bad
word. I don't
mean
it negatively. Yeah. Like,
but we're talking the difference of like engagement, actually having the opportunity to be known, to be understood in this place, to connect, or like
a feeling of like demand, or feeling like my partner demands this of me.
Right. I think that's a band-aid. For me, it was like, oh, if you get a different job, finally, when you finish your PhD, if there's always a like, oh, I won't feel lonely when.
Right. Yes.
Like if there's whatever the fill in the blank is. Yeah.
And
like,
you might have different answers to that.
For sure.
Each of you.
Yeah. I think I've had 700 different answers in our 16 years. Like, I think that is a good indication. Like, wait a minute, because our level, my contentment, my sense of self cannot be dependent upon Stephen finishing a PhD, which doesn't mean qualitatively our life wasn't immediately improved.
Sure.
Because to be clear, it was so much better when that
awful.
Was over.
Yes. It's a long 5 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So asking yourself those questions. And then I think part of it is being able, you know, after you have some answers...
Those are
you questions that you ask yourself. Then I think there's an external part of like moving towards your partner and asking them those same questions and saying like, are you aware of any of this for yourself? And starting that conversation of, is our relationship being impacted by a sense of loneliness that we haven't really been aware of?
Or we are,
right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, kind of having that conversation, and if the answer is like, yes, maybe, how so, you know, then I think in terms of being clear with one another, then you can say like, well, is there anything that we could do to help that feel different? And I think that primarily, like one of the things you can do is to seek connection with one another, but to seek connection with others around you, but doing it in a more purposeful way, from a place of understanding yourself and your partner and what you both need. I mean, I think, go ahead.
I just like that. I like the part because I do think for anything to ever feel different, like really feel different, it has to be known and understood and connected on, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have to understand yourself. You have to before you can hope your partner will.
Right.
And then you move to action.
Right.
I was just really resonating. Right. Like, yes, because I think already the connection, I think there's relief in naming. It's not a thought. That's true. There's a relief in like, oh, this is what this is. It doesn't mean it changes anything, but there is a relief in that. And then that's where you can start trying to find actions.
Yeah. Like there's even been, times where Aaron and I have talked about, we're like, you know what? We do want to feel more connected. And then where you can be like, okay, like who in our life, who in our life are people that we want to be connected with? And, you know, there's people here where we live in Denver, but also like, I remember one of the specific things we said is, we are pretty close with my siblings and their kids and their partners. And so one of the things we've said is like, we want to be more connected to them. And we have specifically made efforts and plans to be like, this is how we're going to do that. This is how we will see them. Our energies, our efforts, our money goes towards those kinds of things because we have, we've had that conversation about like, we want to be connected. We don't feel connected. How can we be? And so that's what I mean by from that place of understanding, you and your partner can actually do something that addresses your loneliness together and in a purposeful and intentional way moving forward.
I think it only furthers your point, but I think this is something. So like, and you may not always both feel this at the same time. So mm-hmm. I really wanted our kids to get to live and grow up with cousins. I did. And it was honestly life-giving for me. When we were at my dad's house, we basically lived at his sister's, my aunt's house, and her two daughters made that time okay for me when it really wouldn't have been without them.
Right.
Life-giving for me. And so for me to imagine my kids not having cousins they loved and them not being around them, just I couldn't. And one thing that and that Stephen didn't really grow up close to his cousins, and not that he didn't want our kids to be close to his cousins, but like
no, they can't.
No, but like
wasn't a value. That one. Yeah. I would say it was a value.
Didn't like cause you to lose sleep at
right.
night. Like, yes, oh yeah, this exactly. is how it happens. We'll see them and we go. Like, Aaron, we go. Like, no. Like, I need to know that you are willing. Like, I need the commitment from you that like we will spend money. Like, even when money is scarce, we will find a way to go and be with them.
Right.
Every year. We will see all cousins every year.
Yeah, at least.
Hopefully sometimes more.
Yeah, more. Yeah, as much as possible, you know, bare minimum.
And that is a way that Stephen could move towards me in something that felt very specific to something I wanted.
Well, and it's been such an enriching part of our life and our kids' lives. And
yeah, and you in know, no way do so I mean to say that like Stephen didn't value that.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I mean, I did.
Until we are able to say like, these are the things I really want. Like this would make me feel more connected. This thing would make me feel more rooted. To hear your partner say back, I will prioritize that. Like, I don't understand it, but I don't have to understand it to get that it's a value for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, how do we map this out? Like, let's work on this. And and maybe, you know, maybe that can't be a goal this year. Maybe we can't say, yes, we will spend $1,000 on plane tickets. Like, we can't do that. But I hear you, and we will save and plan, and we will do that.
XYZ. Right. So
I'm just saying there can be verbal validation and practical action.
So the questions being, am I feeling lonely? How would I know that? You gave some examples. How am I trying to fix that loneliness, or how am I trying to ask my partner to fix that loneliness? Asking yourself those questions, then asking your partner those questions, and then together making a plan of action for, well, what can we do that could address this loneliness in a way that helps us both feel supported and connected. Today's show was produced by Aaron and Stephen Mitchell. If you're enjoying the podcast, please hit the follow button and leave us a rating. This helps our content become more visible to others who might enjoy it, and it lets us know how we can keep improving the show. And as always, we're grateful for you listening. Thanks so much for being with us here today on Couples Counseling for Parents. And remember, working on a healthy couple relationship is good parenting.